Ms. McDowell, good morning to you. You may approach. And you may proceed.
May it please the court. My name is Megan McDowell, and I represent Deborah Saunders, who is Dante's paternal grandmother. She's also the mother of James S., who is Dante's father. We've appealed from the separate juvenile court of Lancaster County, which denied Ms. Saunders' motion for visitation with Dante. As a way of some background, Ms. Saunders was previously living in Tennessee. When Dante was born and removed, she began having visitation with him at the age of 5 months. She would drive up here from Tennessee. After expressing an interest in having placement of Dante as a familial kinship placement for him, she actually was informed that she would need to move up to Nebraska, so she did that in April of 2015. During this time, she had visitation with Dante while he was having visits with his mother, Lori.
Were all those visitations supervised?
Yes, they were.
And how many were there in total?
I believe there were 6 to 8 during the time that she was driving up from Tennessee to Nebraska, or there were 4 or 5 and a couple after she got here to Nebraska in April 2015.
Counsel, the juvenile court order states that if the evidence presented at the termination hearing doesn't support termination, it would be appropriate for Ms. Saunders to renew her motion for visitation. In view of that language, how is this a final order?
I believe it's a final order because if there was a termination, then she would have no recourse to come back.
That's an if, though. We don't know that at the time of the judge's order, do we?
No, Your Honor.
And it's not part of the record that there was a termination, is it?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. So again, how is that a final order in view of the fact that we don't know what's going to happen on the termination at the time of the judge's order?
I would say given the remainder of the judge's order stating that Ms. Saunders had not seen Dante for over a year, so if there was no termination and she came back and renewed her visitation, that would just be, it'd be further removed in an additional time. So I believe it affects a substantial right of hers and makes it a final order.
Well, part of a substantial right's length of time, and in another juvenile case, didn't we find, came to a grandparent order that part of what you look at is whether they've been eliminated from consideration. And she's not been eliminated by this order, has she?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe, though, that length of time was a direct result of the interference of the Department of Health and Human Services in an attempt to eliminate her from consideration. I don't believe
Your argument is that during, as time passes, she'll have poorer set of facts.
Essentially, Your Honor, yes. I believe it's not for lack of effort. She drove up here multiple times from Tennessee for visitation to establish a relationship. She was able to establish that relationship, and it was only the interference of the department that cut that relationship off and then was used against her as a reason to deny placement as well as visitation for her.
Counsel, if the rights are terminated, what rights would she have at that point to visitation? I mean, why would length of time be important in view of our case law on grandparent visitation if the rights are terminated of the child?
This court's previously found that when the rights are terminated, her legal rights as well are terminated. Since the appeal, there was no termination.
I'm sorry?
I said since the appeal was filed, there was no termination. The motion for termination was actually withdrawn by the state, and Mr. Slagle did, or James did, relinquishes parental rights. So in that sense, she would, in essence, be able to renew her motion for visitation. However, the opposing counsel's position is that she no longer has standing to do so.
Well, that issue hasn't been resolved, though. I mean, your argument is the relinquishment's different than termination, but if we disagree with that, then she would lose her rights, correct?
Yes. So the issue of standing, as the justice pointed out, is that a relinquishment, or our argument is that a relinquishment is different from a termination. In a termination, the grandparents' legal rights would be removed from them upon termination of the grandparents' rights to the child. However, relinquishments have always been, or have often been treated differently. There is case law from this court, In Re Interest of Ditter, which did find
counsel, that... Counsel, I apologize for interrupting you again, but how is this even relevant? Because at the time of the judge's order, there was no relinquishment, and the relinquishment's not part of our record, so we can't consider that.
Right.
So you're arguing something that's not part of our record, so how is this relevant to our decision?
I believe it's relevant because there's a potential that this can be repeated for other families and bar them from being able to assert the grandparent rights that they have to children. So if we're not able to discuss what happens down the road, even though it wasn't part of the record and it happened after the appeal, then no grandparents would ever be able to assert any rights.
Well, someone could have supplemented the record, couldn't they?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so our case law is pretty consistent. We have to only deal with the record, don't we?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
In the trial in the lower court, Ms. Saunders did offer testimony that she had a significant beneficial relationship with Dante, that she made every effort that she could to effectuate that relationship, and that the department did interfere in that relationship. Ms. Ferguson, who is the caseworker that completed the home study, stated in court as well as in her home study that the home study was positive, that Deborah would have a lot to offer Dante as a grandmother, and that she could be approved to have some visitation with her grandson in Lincoln. Her position between the time she completed the home study and the time she testified at trial had not changed. Ms. Ferguson also testified that it took 5 to 6 months to complete that home study, whereas most only take 1 to 3 months. I believe this is a further evidence of the department's attempting to push this off as long as possible so that Ms. Saunders would not be able to realize her rights or would not be able to have adequate visitation and potentially placement with Dante.
What do you base that sort of your accusation of bias on the department? What do you base that on?
I would base it on the fact that she was allowed to have visitation. She was approved to be present at visitation once she moved up here, and Lori, the mother's visitation, was effectively ended by an order of the court, whereas she was required to pay for visitation, and it was no longer going to be funded by the state, that Ms. Saunders wasn't offered any opportunity to have visitation. She was told she had to complete a home study before she could be considered for visitation. It's in the record that Ms. Kramer testified that the department was going to require her to do a home study before she could have visitation because if she couldn't be considered for placement, they didn't want to have Dante enter her life just to have him removed again. It took an additional 2 months after Ms. Saunders' request for a home study for that referral to go in. It took an additional 6 months after that. When the home study was completed in March of 2016, Ms. Saunders didn't even receive the results or the denial of that home study until the beginning of July 2016. Which was a year after she initially requested to intervene in this case as well as requested the home study.
Your argument in essence attributes ill will on the part of the department towards your client, other than things that seem to be of a delaying nature as opposed to a manifestation of ill will. What is there in the record, and why would the department care? Why would they have ill will to your client? I'm not sure that any of this makes sense to me. Would you try and fill in that?
I don't know why they have ill will. I believe that part of it was the dismissed criminal charges that were against her from Tennessee. However, that didn't stop the department from approving her to have visitation prior to the charges dismissal or after the charges dismissal. It wasn't until a year later that they asserted that as some sort of concern. Regarding Ms. Saunders. But other than that, I don't know why they would have any ill will, other than the fact that the foster parents wanted to adopt Dante.
In the future, if the father has relinquished his rights, what rights will the grandmother have in the future?
I believe that she could still have standing and still have rights to visitation based on the holding and peer review bolus, whereas the parent voluntarily relinquished his rights and his parents were still allowed to assert their visitation rights.
Would that be true post-adoption?
I believe it would be. In peer review bolus, they found that the adoption does not affect the biological grandparents' rights with respect to the child.
All right, thank you.
The amount of time, if there's no other questions.
Thank you very much. Ms. Sabata, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Shelley Sabata, and I am here on behalf of Appley, and I'm a deputy county attorney in the Lancaster County Attorney's Office. There has been a lot of litigation since these motions were heard in July of 2016, but again, those aren't part of the record for this appeal before the court this morning. There is a subsequent appeal pending.
Can the record be supplemented at this point in time?
It could be, yes. And I think that was alluded to by the order to show cause that was issued by the Court of Appeals, acknowledging that they had become aware that there had been a relinquishment by the father and asking how that affected standing. And I would agree that that is a very valid point with regard to the grandmother's standing. I don't think the peer case is applicable to this fact pattern that was dealing with a step-parent adoption post-relinquishment in a situation where grandparents already had visitation rights, where they already had that substantial beneficial relationship that the many cases talk about. That doesn't exist here. We have a grandmother who, and the first prong that needs to be met is that it be proven by clear and convincing evidence that there is a substantial and beneficial relationship. This is a grandmother who, over the course of very few months, had approximately six visitations or six opportunities to spend time with Dante, all in a supervised setting in a visitation center. That's hardly, I don't think, what was contemplated by any of the cases with regard to a substantial and beneficial relationship. She didn't have typical grandparent relations where she could take him places and do things with him. She'd never seen him alone.
Don't the current statutes give a strong preference for placement with relatives, and does that have any bearing on this case?
I don't think that it does in this particular case. When the case was initiated, she didn't live in this state, and it's very rare that we'd consider even a relative who does have preference out of state because of the fact that that's disruptive to the parent-child relationship. Once she moved here and began the process of the home study, later in the case, at that point, the department, in addition to the home study, which was denied, it was ultimately denied, and that's in the record, in addition to that, the department, regardless of the outcome of the home study, which is not necessarily binding on the department or the court, they look at the suitability. And there's case law with regard to that as well. The department will go through sort of their suitability checklist. And in this case, the paternal grandmother did not meet suitability, which I think goes to the best interest of Dante as to whether or not placement or visitation should occur. There was information in the record about the indictment that was pending and later dismissed. She testified that was as a result of a plea agreement.
Counsel,
that her son took.
In view of the judge's order stating that Ms. Sanders can renew the motion for visitation, how is this a final order?
I'm not sure, I'm considering that sentence, that it would be. At that point, I think that it is something that is more temporary in nature when that language is in an order and allows an opportunity to be heard again on that. The court did note there was the termination of parental rights pending, so I think it's a little difficult to interpret how open-ended that is, given that there is some finality of the case that was.
Well, we don't judge with hindsight, do we? We have to.
Correct.
We judge at the time the judge entered his orders. We have to look at that point in time, don't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. And he did leave, Judge Wright did leave that door open for that issue to be revisited, which makes. Based on other case law, other appeals that I've been involved with, the general court would make it a separate nature order.
So where would that leave the case?
That would make it, if the court determines this is not a final appealable order, then she would not have standing to pursue the matter that's being pursued at this time. So essentially...
And where would the child be?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
So there's a child involved in this case.
Absolutely.
Where would the child be? I understand this isn't in the record, but...
I would, the child would be, Dante would be in the same state that he has been since birth.
Foster care, right?
Correct. And I don't think there is a difference in the case law that I reviewed.
And let me ask one more thing. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, the case was progressing towards permanency, and again, there have been a number of things that have occurred since July of 16. But, and I would note that that the grandmother's appeal is only as to visitation. We were hearing placement and visitation motions. The appeal clearly indicates in the brief that it's only as to visitation. So that issue is not before the court at this time as to whether she's still seeking placement, or was at the time of the appeal. And no, it's obviously everything we do in these cases is to expedite having children only be in foster care.
That is what is really difficult about appeals in these cases.
Yes.
Would it be helpful to this court at all to supplement the record with what has happened between last summer and now?
Absolutely, because a lot has happened. A lot has happened, which is noted by the Court of Appeals order to show cause that was issued.
So who should do that?
I'm not sure. I believe I live right here. So essentially, visitation is an issue that was on appeal. I would argue that there's absolutely not a significant beneficial relationship. I think the case is distinguishable here because of the fact that there hadn't already been that established. There's no visitation to occur or to continue, and I think the suitability of the grandmother is absolutely important when you get to the merits of that. I would argue with regard to the order to show cause that I don't believe that there continues to be standing. I think all of the case law is very clear in this court as well that grandparents' rights are secondary to the biological parents' rights or the adoptive parents' rights, essentially the parental rights. And hers were essentially severed at the time that Mr. Lindquist and his were severed. So I think that that is a concern with regard to ongoing standing as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day is In Re Est-